Welcome to Off the Record with Paul Hodes here on WKXL AM and FM, streaming live over the internet, coming to you from our fantastic studios high atop Concord's fantastic main street in this great all-American city on a beautiful summer day. Off the Record is brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Please join a tour. Celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. Speaking of celebrating life, I'm joined by Chris Ryan, the man about town, the rock on foundation guy, the basketball guy, the baseball guy, the politics guy, the dad, the husband. Chris Ryan, what a guy. Thanks for joining me today, Chris, on Off the Record.
It's great to be here. Great to be here.
Great to be anywhere if you're around Off the Record on WKXL. But let's talk a little bit about the week that was. I mean, it's been a slow week in politics, actually. First, we had the debut of Mr. Scaramucci as the communications director for the White House. He hadn't quite started the job yet, but he was on the job, and things were beginning to get a little dicey with spicy and just a little bit dicey in general. And then Mr. Scaramucci, taking a page from the carrot top cantaloupe, who is our president, decided to call up a New Yorker reporter, a reporter for the great journal The New Yorker, that epitome of taste in New York City, where you can find out what's going on down in the Big Apple. Anyway, he called up this reporter, and the reporter made sure that everything was going to be on the record. He asked him specifically, is this on the record? And Mr. Scaramucci said, yes, the mooch said, yes, it's on the record. And then he laced in to various people at the White House, Reince Priebus, Steve Bannon, in an expletive-laced tirade of the sort that is unrepeatable. Unrepeatable, yeah. Because
can't even paraphrase it.
Because of FCC regulations. Unrepeatable on the radio, because, my fair listeners, I know that we're an interested but somewhat, you know, we're a polite bunch around here. I'm kind of a diplomatic kind of guy. I kind of like to think of myself as diplomatic. And there's no way I can repeat almost anything that the mooch Scaramucci said about Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon. I mean, I just can't say the words. The words were expletives. So that when on television or radio you hear bleep, 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 what I'd have to tell you is what Scaramucci said to the New Yorker reporter was that Reince Priebus is a blink, bleep, bleepin', blink, bleep, paranoid schizophrenic. And that Steve Bannon, while he bleeps his own bleep, I mean that's about all I could say about it. And you guys get the picture, folks. You understand. So here is the new communications director for the White House of the President of the United States.
Who, of course, never uses language
of
that.
Who, of course, never uses language like that, because he's a carrot-top cantaloupe. He's got a much higher standard. But anyway, and it was on the record. It became news, and it was followed quickly by the professional demise of Reince Priebus, who left the White House following his already departed Sean Spicy Spicer. And the real tragedy of all this, and we'll get to what happened to the mooch Scaramucci, but the real tragedy of all this is Melissa McCarthy now is done. She cannot go on SNL anymore to run her podium up and down the newsroom as Sean Spicy Spicer. So that's part of the tragedy. But Reince Priebus, now remember, Spicer and Priebus were in the White House because they were supposed to bring some of the calm demeanor of the Republican establishment to the White House. That was what they were supposed to be there for. They were the guys who knew how Washington worked. They had worked together at the RNC, and they were kind of a team. Spicy was Priebus's protege, and Priebus was chief of staff. But the problem was that Priebus wasn't acting like a chief of staff because nobody was talking to him. They were all going directly to the Cantaloupe in Chief. They were going right into the office, running around Priebus, and that was a huge problem. But after Scaramucci's tirade, Priebus was gone. But then, folks, that wasn't the end of the story, because before too long, apparently, Jared and Ivanka, jockeying for position inside the White House, which, by the way, according to a tweet from the Carrot Top Cantaloupe, was no chaos in the White House. Jared and Ivanka talked to the Carrot Top Cantaloupe, and pretty soon Scaramucci was out of a job as well before he'd even started. So it was a calm week in the White House.
Indeed, and you know, I wondered what, you know, the overall goal of having Scaramucci in there was. If in fact they had, you know, designs on him being the communications director long term, or if he was just brought in to clean out Priebus and Spicer, and Trump didn't want to do it himself.
You mean like a political enema?
pretty much. And he was on a kamikaze mission, but he didn't know it. That seemed to be the if I had to diagnose the situation, that's what seems to be.
But his suits were so good. I mean,
he had mastered speaking like Trump with his hands.
That's right. He looked like he was ready for prime time.
He did. I mean, he had the look. He had the persona. He had the tough guy attitude. The willing to say and do anything for Donald Trump, second only to Sean Hannity. And he had it all going for him. And for whatever reason, though, he was out. And I think it had more to do with the fact that General Kelly came on as chief of staff, as opposed to, I'm sure Ivanka and Jared had something to do with it, but Kelly wants to establish a more recognizable White House. And we could talk about the role, too, of the generals here, who I think are basically holding our country together at this point in time, when Kelly and McMaster and
Mattis.
And Mattis are basically, you know, holding the country together. And that's Kelly told Scaramucci that, no, you're not going to be communicating directly to the president. This is how things are going to work now. Scaramucci didn't like that, and I think that Kelly told Trump that, and Ivanka and Jared, that Scaramucci's got to get lost.
Well, Scaramucci had a tough week, let's face it. I mean, he lost his job at the White House. His wife filed for divorce.
Missed the birth of a child.
He missed the birth of the child from with his estranged wife. Then it all kind of hit and came down all at the same time. But a lot of people saw the elevation of General Kelly, as you pointed out, to chief of staff in the White House, as an attempt by some in the White House to bring some semblance of order to what is a completely out of control, chaotic situation in which, because of the nature of the guy at the top, unhinged, tweeting whatever comes into his head, focused on whatever his brain takes him to next, is running the country seems to be running like a train off its rails. I mean, nobody can figure out what's coming next. It's kind of like, you know, it was a Three Stooges routine. Who's on first? No, what's on second? Really? Where's third?
Scaramucci,
I don't know. Third base. But no, what's on second? Where? No, who?
Yeah.
Who's on first? No, that's what? And it's just, it has lent an air of desperation in some quarters to the sense of certainly the agenda of the president. Conservatives are out of their heads unhappy because Nothing's been passed that pleases them. Progressives are out of their heads unhappy because they're scared about what it means for the country. Folks in the middle don't know what to think, and around the world, this country has lost credibility because people, frankly, think our president's nuts.
Yeah, I think that those are all accurate assessments. I think that it's embarrassing. The level of incompetence that we have seen from the White House is embarrassing. The things that the president says, how he acts, how he has devalued the institution, the presidency, all these things are embarrassing. And there is a hope on my part that, you know, Kelly is able to, and Mattis and others are able to connect with him in ways that other individuals haven't. And as I've said before, Donald Trump became Donald Trump based upon his role on The Apprentice, where he was able to be fed lines, heavily edited, and ceded control of the operation to the producers that were around him. In order for this presidency to be successful, he has to do the same thing. Someone has to convince him that we can make you look good. And we're going to do it just like The Apprentice. You're going to come in at the end. You're going to talk up the laws that have been passed. And we're going to do this for you. You just sit back, and we'll do it the same way as The Apprentice. You get to make some adjustments at the end. But guess what? We're going to try to do it just like that. And you're going to have to cede control of this, because no matter who is in charge, whether it's Kelly or whomever, nothing is going to work unless the president is willing to take a step back, be controlled, and let it work.
Well, it's going to be very hard, because it's clearly not in his nature. Look, as an American,
he did it on The Apprentice.
He was able to say you're fired.
Right.
He played a character. Well, that was the kind of this week. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. I mean, that happened a lot. That happened a lot this week. I mean, the sad thing was, with the Priebus firing, the news was that the president wasn't even able to tell Priebus personally. They rode on a plane back and forth to the Boy Scouts, and then he did it by tweet.
He can't do it. He can't fire people.
He can't fire people.
That's why I think Scaramucci was brought in, is to make it so on. Like, he couldn't fire Sessions. He wanted to so bad, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't pull the trigger. He tried so hard to embarrass him and to make him quit. Spicer quit as a result of the fact that Scaramucci was installed as a communications director. And Priebus sort of quit. Was fired, some sort of thing, and that's where we're at.
Let me give you a take that is somewhat contrarian, given my political leanings and everything I say, because I have said things about this president which I do not regret in the slightest. I've said things about him that I think characterize a completely unhinged, narcissistic, egomaniac person who's mentally ill, who happens to be the president of the United States. As an American, however, whatever you think about the president, I care about the presidency. I
mean, the institution. Yeah.
As a former congressman, I care about the institutions of our government. I think that while our government, there's a lot to complain about our government, you take a look at all the rest of the governments in the world, and you've got to have a pretty different view of the fact that our grand experiment in democracy has held together through thick and thin, and we're doing okay. The presidency is what I really care about. I think that issues around the strength of the presidency and the balance of the presidency in Congress and the press are vital issues. But having a presidency in which there is dignity, grace, intelligence, and an ability to be a role model for Americans and for others around the world is important. And frankly, whatever my political feelings about Donald Trump, I hope that we can restore some dignity to the office of the presidency. This is Paul Hodes on WKXL AM and FM, off the record, streaming live over the internets and brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Join a tour, celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. Folks, don't go away. We'll be back after more Off the Record. Welcome back. It's Off the Record with Paul Hodes here on WKXL AM and FM, streaming live over the internet and coming to you from our fabulous studios high atop Concord's fabulous, fabulous Main Street. We are brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Please join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. Well, it's summertime in Concord, New Hampshire. And if it's summertime in Concord, New Hampshire, it's time to rock on. And we have Luke Bonner, Mr. Rock On himself, here to talk about what is going down coming up soon in Concord, New Hampshire. Luke Bonner, welcome to
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. There's nothing really going on in the news, so we're not going to talk about politics or the news anymore. We're just going to talk about the fun, great stuff that you are doing with the Rock On Fest in Concord. First of all, tell us about Rock On. What is Rock On? How did it start? What's the idea behind it? I mean, we know it a little bit about the festival, and we'll talk more about that, but Rock On is a foundation.
Yeah, Rock On is a 501c3 nonprofit. We started, it's almost 5 years now, I think.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, but it's focused on promoting wellness and creativity through the arts and athletics. And creating a lot more opportunities in those fields for people around the state. And so we've been doing a lot of stuff over the years. Rock On Fest is kind of the physical manifestation of what the organization exists for. We're really happy to have it right in the on New Hampshire's Main Street, mm-hmm. Right downtown. Going to be on the State House lawn this year, and really, really going to be special.
So, Luke Bonner and Matt Bonner and the Bonners, everybody knows you guys. you guys are the tall ball players. You and your brother Matt, who's also is on the station with a show, have a background in professional basketball. How did you? Where's the mix of athletics and arts come in? Because that's not necessarily a mix that's always usual. That's kind of an unusual mix. Because like in high school, the athletes and the artists are usually like in different groups. So what's that about?
Yeah, I feel like there's stereotypically quite a separation between athletes and between athletics and the arts. But in reality, they're quite analogous. And I mean, just growing up here, I feel like nurtured kind of an interest for me and my brother and my family in the arts and music and stuff like that. And of course, we were heavily involved in basketball as well. So, those are kind of the two things we know best. So when creating the nonprofit, we felt like that was an area where we could really do some good stuff in the state and bring some new things that are, exciting and really, really build the character of the area. But yeah, I mean, when you think about it, it's like, what do you hope to get out of participating in a sport is basically the same thing that you hope to develop, by participating in the arts, from being able to, receive, critical feedback, collaborating with different people and kind of, really having like a long-term focus on an end goal and working through adversity, all those things. Are quite analogous, and as we became professional basketball players, it was kind of funny. I found like most of my friends were like touring musicians, and we have very similar lifestyles. We're
sure
we're working or performing, you know, on Friday nights and stuff like that, and have days off on, you know, Wednesdays and whatnot. And it's just kind of interesting to hear their backgrounds and how meticulous a lot of those artists are, you know, with practicing their craft, and how it's very similar to what you do when you're working at a sport.
And of course, from the commercial end, I mean, they're both, as you point out, performance activities. Professional athletes are performing, but it's also a giant entertainment industry, and certainly professional artists are performing, and it's a giant entertainment industry.
Right, and I think at their best, you know, sports and arts really like serve as like a building community, and kind of helping people like understand the world and understand other people and be exposed to new ideas and new people. And I think that's like one of the more special, you know, elements to both, you know, something that's athletic related or arts related. And so we're trying to, you know, bring out the best of all of that, really through basketball and other activities and music and movies, through this festival and, you know, really show that the Concord is, there's just an energy in town right now, and we're hoping to add to that and build with that and run with it, and, you know, really make this, you know, one of the best places to live in the country.
Well, it's a good goal. I mean, you know, I mean, recently we learned that the president of the United States thinks New Hampshire's a drug infested den. So anything we can do to combat that image is probably a pretty good thing. So before we get to this year's festival, what kinds of activities has the Rock On Foundation done in the past? I mean, you know, you're going to be on the State House lawn this year, August 11th and 12th. But how has it grown? Where'd you start, and what have you learned?
So we kind of started out. We were in a unique position to kind of even go out of state to operate some events and really create some new opportunities for local talent. So our big start was really at South by Southwest. We started doing a music showcase down there, and then we've always done the festival in New Hampshire. We've shifted that from like a ticketed model to now it's like a free thing, very accessible to anyone. And then, you know, once we moved on from South by Southwest, we found a nice niche at NBA All-Star Weekend. So we work with, you know, every year, New Hampshire Institute of Art students, and, you know, they're developing the creative assets around, you know, pretty big NBA All-Star activations, in major markets. So it's kind of creates a new opportunity for them to make.
Let me just ask you. So you've used some big words here that people outside the marketing world may not know. Okay, here's what I get so far. So we've got New Hampshire Institute of Art students involved. And of course, the New Hampshire Institute of Art is down in Manchester.
Yep.
And they're doing great things. It's a great school for all kinds of artists. And they're working on building community in Manchester.
Yep.
And when you say they're developing assets, what do you mean?
So like posters and promotional materials, and they get compensated for it.
Uh-huh.
Around you know, our all-star weekend events. So, you know, a couple of students got to make, you know, some designs for we did a comedy show this year with Hannibal Buress and Michael Shea and Joe Mandy, very big names, right, in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And so it's a great portfolio piece for them. They get compensated. They get to do something kind of outside the realm of New Hampshire. And, you know, that's something that we're really proud of. That's like kind of an ongoing initiative. You know, that's kind of like a more smaller scale one. You know, in addition to that, we do an annual organizational grants program. So we receive applications from organizations all over the state between February and April. And then we have a big old grants committee that I stay completely away from, so don't try to lobby me. And they allocate the funds every year. So, you know, that's helped fund things like this year. Some of the recipients are Arts Rochester, so an after-school arts program in Rochester, New Hampshire. Boys and Girls Club of the North Country, they have a summer swim program we're able to help fund. And the Northeast Passage, which is an extension of UNH, they do a lot of programs with people who have difficulty getting around. So we help buy an adaptive wheelchair it's able to like climb Mount Lafayette, that injured veterans or disabled students can have access to that equipment and participate in the outdoor programming at their schools or in their community or whatnot. So there's a lot of stuff like that. And then we've done just like some kind of like civic improvements, I would say. One of our bigger initiatives last year was in memory of Sam Carey, who was a local standout basketball player who tragically passed away in a car accident. And so we've kind of been working on the Sam Carey Classic game, which is like a New Hampshire basketball celebration. And, from those funds, we were able to renovate the Sheridan Emmett basketball courts really nicely with glass backboards and all that stuff. And, it's like, I think the lowest income neighborhood in the state, right by over by Gill Stadium in Manchester. And then this year we were able to launch a Sam Carey Memorial Summer League there, which is a free summer league for neighborhood kids to participate in. But also, trying to create some small job opportunities for neighborhood kids there, and get them to do the scoreboard and referee games and so on and so forth. So we've been working with the Manchester Parks and Rec Department on that. And, this was year one, and we're hoping to kind of build that out over time and make it, something really, really special and impactful for kids in Manchester through that.
So every year that the foundation's been around, this is its fifth year, you've been able to do great things with the NBA. How do the NBA players take to the Rock On Foundation and the whole idea behind it?
Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate to have such strong relationships with the NBA. Obviously, my brother played in the NBA for 13 years, but also my sister Becky worked for the NBA for I want to say the past five at least years. She's now the director of player development for the Orlando Magic. So obviously there's NBA ties there,
basketball in the blood.
yeah. And so we've been in contact with them. We had this, this wacky idea that's, with the revitalization of Main Street in Concord, is thought it was perfect time. Like imagine having this like awesome festival on your state house lawn. For me, as someone who's kind of left and lived all over like Eastern Europe and Texas and so on and so forth, when I moved back and came back, that the State House building has just always kind of been this like magnet to me. And it's just one of those buildings that I totally took for granted growing up here. And now like as I come back, I'm like, man, this is a magnificent like piece of architecture that's amazing. Right. And so to have, this kind of go on right there is super cool. I don't know how many states like have stuff like that, and it just shows like that's how special Concord and New Hampshire really is. Like you can get access to the stuff and do something like amazing yourself. And so we just talking to the NBA, we're we were able to figure out that they had a they have access to a pop-up basketball court that there is just sitting in a warehouse in Minnesota, and they're willing to donate it to us. So we're going to be able to set that up right on Main Street by the State House. And
great.
It's going to be an unbelievable opportunity. Like imagine if you're a high school kid or just a kid growing up and you're playing, 3-on-3 hoops or playing games with a crowd and all this activity going on, right on Main Street downtown. I think it's going to be one of those things that will stay with them and always be like that connection, to them, no matter where they end up later on.
We're talking with Luke Bonner, former pro basketball player, the brother of Matt Bonner, also a former pro basketball player. Luke and Matt are the creative forces and a part of the great brain trust behind the Rock On Foundation, which is putting on the Rock On Fest in Concord, August 11th and 12th, coming right up, a big free event. We've been talking about some of the background for Rock On. This is Off the Record with Paul Hodes on WKXL AM and FM, brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Join a tour. Celebrate life with the Birches. Call 224-9111. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more Off the Record, talking with Luke Bonner. Don't go away. We're back. It's Off the Record with Paul Hodes here on WKXL AM and FM, streaming live over the interwebs from our studios high atop Concord's fabulous Main Street. And we're archived at ConcordNewsRadio.com. You can find our old shows. You can binge listen to Off the Record with Paul Hodes. Just imagine the historic events of the past couple of years that we have covered and all the people we've interviewed. You can binge listen just like we were Netflix. So my tens of listeners, go to ConcordNewsRadio.com and tell your friends, binge listen to Off the Record with Paul Hodes. And we're brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Join a tour. Celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. And our guest today is Luke Bonner, Concord native, world traveler, pro basketball maven, who is now back in town, living right here, raising his family, and he and his brother Matt, along with a bunch of other really great people, are putting on the Rock On Fest in Concord on August 11th and 12th. So, Luke Bonner, tell us about some of what we can expect at this year's Rock On Fest.
Well, you can expect, it's 2 days now, so we will be setting up bright and early, 6 a.m., getting that basketball court up right on Main Street. Only the portion of Main Street where the court is will be disrupted, I guess, on that date.
We call that constructive disruption.
Yes. Responsibly disrupted.
Responsibly disrupted. I mean, who doesn't want to play basketball? Come on. I mean, I'd rather play basketball than drive up and down Main Street anyway.
So one of the biggest global initiatives from the NBA and FIBA and Team USA right now is 3-on-3 basketball. So there's a big push. We've kind of had a behind-the-scenes look at this movement. It's still very early in the process, but in terms of grassroots development, they're trying to push more younger kids to play 3-on-3 because it's more accessible. You need less people, and it allows you to learn more of the fundamentals in a more constructive way rather than everyone bunching up around the ball in a 5-on-5 full court atmosphere.
Three-on-three half court?
Yep, it's a half court game. Uh-huh. They're 10 minutes, they're fast, and 3-on-3 got announced it's going to be an Olympic sport. Starting in 2020.
Wow, I had no idea.
There are a few, 3-on-3 professional leagues now even.
Wow.
It's huge in Europe and in Asia.
That's cool. I had no idea. Luke.
Yeah, so we saw this kind of as an opportunity to introduce it to the city. This is, it's going to be smaller this year one. But ideally over time, we'd love to become, a destination for anyone in the Northeast that's interested in, participating in this style of play. Again, it's very simple. It's kind of reminds me of the black ice hockey. It's kind of a little more accessible. Like
feels kind of homegrown.
Yeah, and you can get more people involved because the games are quicker. There's three people, so all that. So we're excited to introduce that. So on Friday, starting at noon, there's going to be a youth boys 3-on-3 tournament that'll be followed by the girls tournament. We're flipping the dynamic there.
And where do people sign up?
I believe signups are, I believe it's full at this point.
Okay.
So we are not going to drive any signups right now.
Okay.
Following those tournaments, at around 6:30, there's going to be a Concord Police versus Concord Firefighters. And they're going to get in on the 3-on-3 action themselves.
Oh, people, you don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
See your favorite officers and your favorite firefighters square off for 3-on-3 basketball.
I'm sure it will not be remotely embarrassing for any of them.
Well, who's in better shape, the firefighters or police?
And then after that, really excited. We're going to host a unified basketball game between Merrimack Valley High School and Concord High School right there at the court. So we want to make that, as special as we can for those kids participating in that. And for a lot of the unified team members, it's going to be their last game ever. So, we're really excited about that. And then when that game ends, Red River Theaters and Able Insurance are putting together an outdoor viewing of Space Jam on the State House lawn.
Oh, now
so yeah,
that is. Yeah. Are they going to project it on the dome?
I don't. They no. They have an outdoor theater set up.
How cool!
Yeah,
is that?
So it's going to be really cool. That's the Friday schedule. Then Saturday, we're going to be starting the 3-on-3 for the adults at around 10 a.m. So we'll be out there, but all the other awesome stuff in town is going to be going on before that. So, the farmer's market's still going to be right there on Capitol Street. The right. The arts market's going to be going on in Bicentennial Square. And in town, Concord arranged for the sidewalk sale to be those 2 days. So there's going to be a lot of energy in town. And I know in town's actually doing like a pancake breakfast right on Capitol Plaza or City Plaza that morning. So it's like kind of really cool vintage New England, nice little community town style
nice.
Leading up to that.
Yeah.
So then we'll start with the 3-on-3 at 10 a.m. with the adults on the basketball court. And then that'll be immediately followed with the Midsummer Classic, which the Frank Monahan Foundation hosts. And so that's the Concord High, Brady, Merrimack Valley, and Pembroke Academy. We do a boys and girls like single elimination tournament, basketball tournament with them. So that'll be.
How does a single elimination basketball tournament work?
If you lose, you go home.
Oh, I see.
Or you go to the State House lawn and have a blast.
Have some fun.
Yeah. So there'll be street vendors and all that, and then on the State House lawn is almost just another area. So that'll start really picking up at 1:30 p.m.
This is Saturday, August 12th.
On Saturday, August 12th. Yep. And that'll be Mr. Aaron, local kindy musician, is going to be doing like a kids jam. So he's awesome. If you haven't seen him, take your kids to his classes. Go check it out. We're really fortunate to have him and someone like him in town, doing what he's doing. But he's gonna do a family jam
right.
at 1:30.
So that's for the littler kids.
Yep. And then that will transition from that. Living Yoga is going to do an outdoor yoga session, which was really popular last year. So they're going to do an outdoor yoga session using the stage.
And just imagine in front of the State House folks in Concord, New Hampshire, covered with yoga mats and yogis.
And then, so then when that's done, then we transition really into the music. And we have all women-fronted bands this year.
How'd you decide on female-fronted rock and roll?
We just thought it was a nice theme and, would be... that's something that, we've seen, just in the music industry, there's underrepresentation a lot of times of women, at a lot of the festivals. So we thought we would, do our best to,
That is very cool. You guys are contrarians. You guys are clearly contrarians. I like it a lot.
Well, you're also looking at all the bands we've booked in the past, and it's like, man, like, it seems like a lot of dudes are like, oh, basketball, man, like, want to play with us. Or like, oh, let's get a bunch of, let's get some women-fronted bands that kick butt and, let them do their thing downtown. So that'll start. Tough Guy is the first band.
Where are they from?
It's Kate West's band. So she's I don't know exactly where she's from. I know she's from the Bradford Henniker area.
Oh, so it's a local band.
Yeah, but she is awesome. Like really cool. She's probably gonna hate me describing her music, but like kind of like a lo-fi like DIY vibe, but really powerful voice and it's really good stuff. Like high energy.
Yeah.
And then Photo Comfort will be coming in from Boston. She is like a really talented musician. Some of her stuff is a little more like electro pop style, but I think her first album, like her first full length album, hasn't come out yet. Mm-hmm. But I expect her to kind of take the scene by storm.
Uh-huh.
We're really.
How'd you find out about her?
One of our volunteers. We have a lot of volunteers who are really into music, and one of our volunteers is actually college friends with one of their band mates who used to be in the band Mountain Man, which was actually like pretty big when I was in college.
Uh-huh. Is that a woman's band or a man's band?
That was a man's band.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so he plays sometimes with her, not all the time, and we heard her music, and it's amazing. And she was into the idea of this festival. So,
cool.
She's coming up from Boston.
Yeah.
And then the final two acts, we always try to bring in like two bigger-ish bands that are not from the area that maybe have never played the area. These two, I think, actually have played in New Hampshire previously. But Holly Miranda is coming in from New York, and her voice is very powerful. She's fantastic, and I think that I listen to a lot of music. A lot of it, I understand if your ear rejects the sound. I get that. I wouldn't blame you. Holly Miranda, if your ear rejects her, I don't understand you. It's very pleasant, very, very catchy, you know, very, very good stuff. And then the second headliner will be Laura Stevenson. And they'll both have bands with them. It's not just solo. So Laura Stevenson will be the last to go on. And she's, you know, I mean, she's just killer, highly respected musician. She's a singer-songwriter, but it's a lot heavier, almost punky, but not quite. I got to be careful describing people's music. But her music was just used on the score Chris Gethard's Career Suicide special on HBO. Hmm. So I was like listening, I was watching, I was like, oh my God, that's Laura Stevenson, that's awesome, and she's coming into Concord to play a free show. And I was at Lucky's Barbershop yesterday and someone mentioned it, and like half the room turned around. I was like, Laura Stevenson's playing? So I got pretty excited about that.
Wow.
But yeah, we're really excited to have all those bands
that
coming in.
That sounds like a really great variety of artists from local to national.
Yeah.
Local, regional, and national.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of diverse and wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. I think people are going to really like it. I hope. I hope they maybe discover something new in the process, and hopefully it inspires something in someone.
Do people bring lawn chairs? Do people just come and stand? Is there a stage? What's the setup?
We're gonna be building out a stage early Saturday morning, just for the day. And then it's BYOC. Mm-hmm. So bring your own chair. Bring a blanket if you want. You can stand.
This is Off the Record with Paul Hodes on WKXLAM and FM. We're talking, and we've been talking, with Luke Bonner, one of the creative forces behind the Rock On Foundation and the Rock On Fest, happening in Concord, New Hampshire on August 11th and 12th. Come on down. Play ball, watch ball, listen to music, eat food, have a great time. It's going to be a really happening weekend. That used to be an odd thing to say about Concord, New Hampshire. It's not odd anymore, thanks to Luke and people like Luke. So thanks for joining us on Off the Record.
Thank you for having me.
The show is brought to you by The Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Join a tour. Celebrate life at The Birches. Call 224-9111. This is Off the Record with Paul Hodes, KXLAM and FM. Don't go away. We'll be back to wrap it up in just a few. It's Off the Record with Paul Hodes on WKXLAM and FM, brought to you by The Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Join a tour. Celebrate life at The Birches. Call 224-9111. As my buddy Chris Ryan says, time for a quick wrap. Well, we did a little rapping about the Carrot Top Cantaloupe in the White House and the series of firings and hirings and comings and goings in the White House. Folks, you cannot tell the players anymore without a scorecard, and your scorecard better have a pencil and an eraser, because they're coming and going faster than you can count on. And we talked to my good friend Luke Bonner from Rock On Fest here in Concord, August 11th and 12th. Concord's Main Street, given over to basketball, arts and culture and music. It's going to be a great show. Don't miss it. It's Off the Record with Paul Hodes here on WKXLAM and FM, streaming live over the internet. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our sponsor. And we'll see you next week with more Off the Record.